these are some ugly-looking fish.
Maybe we're near one of those toxic waste dumps.
I think I'm gonna be sick.
Okay, everybody. Let's get this over with. One, two, three, four.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We open with Sweet Victory because if they had played Sweet Victory at the Super Bowl, maybe I wouldn't have been so sad that the Patriots won.
Or bored.
But Adam Levine and 20, or not 21 Savage, he's in jail, sorry.
No, he's getting deported.
He's getting deported, but he is technically in custody. So I was half right. Who was it? Oh, Travis Scott. Yeah, they took that from us. They
and
used SpongeBob.
Big Boy.
And Big Boy. Actually, you know what? The best entrance and the most absurd thing from all of that was just Big Boy rolling in his freaking car.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is a lot. Welcome to Will, Sam, and Sam in the Morning. I'm Sam Anthony. Alongside me are Sam Elizabeth Ferentz and William Robert Camilleri.
Good morning.
Billy Bob.
Yeah, it's still morning.
Oh, yeah, it is. You're right. Oh, man. This is weird. I just ate a bagel. Got my coffee. Actually, so I was leaving this morning for class because, you know, as the semester wears on, you know, when you would wake up like early and you'd have breakfast and you'd get there like a normal time.
No.
Oh, see, that's how I am for like a week.
That was like the first like 2 days of class.
Yeah, exactly. And so now it's to the point where I roll out of bed. I had made my coffee, put it in a to-go cup, got halfway to class and realized that I've not brought it. And if it wasn't a capstone business course, I 100% would have turned around, got it and showed up 10 minutes late. But I didn't. So the first thing I needed before I got here was I was like, I need a cup of coffee. If I don't have a cup of coffee, I cannot function. Ask Will.
Yeah, that's pretty true. Actually,
people say you get like addicted to coffee and you really need it. And
it's a drug.
I think like college really does that to you folks.
Oh man. You know, here's the thing. It wasn't even college cause I worked with the NBA this summer and I think I probably drank 3 cups a day.
Oh yeah. Like during like at work too.
I think
college is where it stems. It's like where you plant the seed.
You're right.
It's a real problem, folks.
Because like I would have coffee every once in a while in high school.
Yeah.
And like really they were like, don't do it. It'll stunt your growth. But I was like, I'm a big caffeine fan. Big fan. But yeah, you go to college and you know you have all this Freedom Card money. And you're just like, yeah, coffee. And I buy black coffee so that it's cheap so that I can buy more.
Yeah.
Because that's what a drug addict does.
Addison always looks at me when I get straight black coffee. She's like, she gets the creamer,
it's iced too, probably, right?
Yeah. Well, no, she's more on the latte side now, but it's the dairy-free stuff because, God forbid, we have some dairy in coffee.
Hopefully, she doesn't listen to this.
I think he's a little passive. God forbid we have some dairy. I hope he gets that tattooed on his butt.
Sam,
can I say that on the radio? I didn't.
If Terrell Owens comes back next year, wins the Super Bowl, gets league MVP, I will let you tattoo that on my butt.
Okay, cool.
What about in that new alliance?
Yeah. Okay. Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
So I just joined a fantasy league. for the American Alliance for Football. It's on a random website.
What is it? What is it?
Or the Alliance for American Football.
Okay.
The AAF.
I knew it was AAF. I didn't know what the second
A
was.
So I'm going to pull up the website. So I just picked the team because I was like, this is cool. Like, I can really pick whoever I want. So I'm a bit – I've decided that I will be a fan of the San Diego Fleet.
Okay. So just looking at the teams.
Yes.
I don't know. Like, I think it's a great idea. However, I think they need at least one team in the northeast section of the country, or it's not going to succeed.
Yes. But, you know, in terms of, like, a good start, because they picked really good locations.
They
teams, did. Locations that, you know, like football, that don't have a team anymore. Like San Diego. Again, mm-hmm. what's a more football-hungry place than San Diego right now? You have San Antonio, which is, you know, again, you see the Spurs. It's a great sports town. You know, why not see what the following could be like there?
Right.
Salt Lake, which I think, again, it's a highly populated area that doesn't have a team.
Or, I mean, they have the Jazz. But,
I mean, that's pretty much all you got, right? Orlando, the Orlando Apollos. I figure you might be an Orlando Apollos fan. I don't know if that
At some point, maybe. Yeah. Who knows?
It's a cool logo. We'll see. I like it. You got the Memphis Express, which, again, another really good location. Birmingham Iron, Atlanta Legends, and Arizona Hotshots. And you're right. It's a lot of West Coast and then the South.
South, yeah.
But I think those were the two regions that they probably looked at cost-effectively. Hey, can we afford to have a team here, have a place to, you know, facilities, get players to play in?
Right, because I don't think they built any new stadiums. They just started using ones that weren't being used or were used by, like, smaller teams.
Like, San Antonio's playing in the Alamo Dome, which is pretty cool, actually.
And San Diego's playing in the Chargers' old stadium.
Yes. So, you know, it's pretty cool because there's also some pretty, like they have basically, like, you know, again, like, the coaches on these teams are old, notable guys.
Well, I think they each have at least one person, whether it be a coach or player, that used to be in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. There are a lot.
Well, that's the big sell. And then either that or you have old college superstars. Like, does anyone remember Aaron Murray? So he was a fifth-round draft pick in the draft. He tore it up at Georgia.
Georgia.
He was really good at Georgia. Just didn't make it. He's playing. I forget what team he's playing for. In Memphis. All right. You want to hear what the quarterback battle is in Memphis?
Yes.
Wait. I think it's Zach Mettenberger.
Yep.
And like Blake Sims or something.
Nope. Former Penn State superstar. Who was
that? Christian Hackenberg.
Yeah. Oh. Mettenberger versus Hackenberg.
get that
tattooed
on your butt.
It's incredible. I think it'll be fun. And you know what? They're right. Why have it compete directly with the NFL? And to have it start the week after the Super Bowl when people are still itching for the, you know, it's 10 weeks. Realistically.
10 weeks and then 2 weeks of playoffs.
Yeah. So you know, the cool thing is look at it. You know, where they're not asking for a huge commitment. It's you know, Saturdays.
Right.
Saturday nights.
Right. And Sundays.
And some Sundays.
Until baseball really starts.
Exactly. So you're really in that lull of time where it's like the middle of the NHL and the NBA season where it's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But for people that maybe don't have an interest in basketball or hockey, it meets a need.
Right.
Who cares
baseball,
about NCAA
baseball has spring training, but, you know.
Nobody's like, oh, boy, like,
yeah.
You know, unless you're like a diehard.
Right.
You know?
It gets tiring, especially with the split squad games where you don't have the full normal lineup. You're like half MLB, half minors, and you're like, these guys aren't too great. Like, you have a lot of those, like, 67s pitching and all that stuff. You
exactly,
know?
Yeah. You know, time to get myself back to MLB The Show.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that'll be cool. That was something that I was like, oh wow, like this is very like.
Who's your bold pick to win it?
You know, I don't know enough of the rosters, but I do. The interesting thing is quarterback play, because again, notable quarterbacks would be Mettenberger, Hackenberg, Aaron Murray, San Diego. I've like looked at their roster. I literally only picked San Diego because I was like, I like San Diego. Like, screw it, why not? You know. So I'm going to pull up. Ready? We're going to pull up the San Diego Fleet roster. They're quarterbacks. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
Mike Berkovici. He's 6'2". He's from Arizona State. We have Philip Nelson from East Carolina. And we have Alex Ross from Coastal Carolina. And those are the quarterbacks. You know, again, not notable guys. Their running backs are from Azusa Pacific. I don't know where that is. I'm assuming California. And then Paul James from Rutgers and Jaquan Gardner from Humboldt State in Canada. Yeah, crazy stuff. I don't know. I didn't follow Pitt football that much until I came here. Does anyone know who Dontez Ford is? He played wide receiver at Pitt.
No. All
right. Those are some of the guys. But yeah, nobody really like big and flashy. You got a bunch of guys from San Diego State. You know, shocker that they play in San Diego.
Yeah, there's I'm looking at the Orlando Apollos, and they have a lot of Florida guys.
Yeah. Ooh, anyone notable on the Apollos?
Seeing as I didn't follow college football until I came to college, okay. I don't know.
Austin Appleby's notable. He's a QB from Florida. But, you know, again, not really good enough. Oh, we got a guy from James Madison. Also, rip to Andy Smigera because he got cut from the San Antonio roster.
He did? Yeah. I was just about to ask
if he
about
stayed
him.
On that team, I was prepared to become a San Antonio Commodores fan. But they cut him, and so now they're my least favorite team. I hate San Antonio now.
Why would they cut him? Oh, hey. I know. Lito Shepard used to be.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, he played for the Eagles back in the day. Or not, I guess not back in the day for some of our older listeners.
And so,
but
see,
for me, back in the day.
And so, see, that's the get with this league is you latch onto a notable guy that you liked but wasn't good enough to really stay consistent, and they grabbed him up here. Holy cow.
Fun fact, first play I ever saw at a live Eagles game was against the Carolina Panthers in the preseason. Lito Shepard had a pick six as we were sitting down in our seats.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So that's my first memory of being at an Eagles game.
Hey, can we talk about the fact that there's a player from Penn State Beaver that made the roster?
Penn State Beaver has a football team?
Apparently. I didn't know that either. Yeah. Darius Prince is his name.
What team is he on?
He's on the San Antonio Commanders.
Dang. I'm listen to this. The Birmingham Iron.
All right.
See if you recognize some of these names. Blake Sims.
Yo.
Trent Richardson.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Trent Richardson, one of the biggest busts of all time. Dude, there's probably some Cleveland Browns fans that show up to a Birmingham Iron game. They're like, you suck, Trent.
Hey,
you were the only thing worse than Brandon Weeden.
There's a guy from UNH, Sam.
Wait, what team?
On the Arizona Hotshots.
What's his name?
His name is Andrew Lauderdale. He's an offensive tackle.
Oh, that means nothing to me. Oh, but their QB is also from Dartmouth. The unofficial mascot of Dartmouth. Anyone know?
Only you would know.
No.
Keggy the Keg. Google it. It's worth a Google. Again, I'm saying all sorts of border. Can I say it on radio? I haven't swore, so I feel like I could say Keggy the Keg. We're in college.
Oh.
What?
You know who the starting kicker for the Arizona Hotshots is?
Who?
Nick Folk.
That's awesome. Yo, Nick Folk.
No, this is fun. I enjoy going through.
It's
like before. A little bit of a blast from
the
past.
Hey, guys, I think we might need two more people in my fantasy league if you guys want to join this.
I would 100% be down.
Can you get on your phone right now and send me the link?
Well, I got to talk. I got to make sure there's openings in this league. But
he's got to talk to his internet friends.
I got to talk to Nick Millar. You know Nick Millar.
That is true.
The only Nick I know is
you
Nick
don't
Mullitz.
Know Nick Millar. Yeah. All right. I'll talk to my people.
Wait. Do you remember this name? And Will, I'm surprised you didn't call it upon us on the Arizona page. Jeff Locke, the punter. He played for the Vikings for a while.
Oh.
No, I don't.
See, all I can think of is what's his name from the Pirates, the old pitcher.
Oh, yeah. There's a kicker. Who's the – I saw him on one of these rosters. Oh, also I just saw a cool name. Scooby Wright.
Mike Vick is the offensive coordinator of the Atlanta Legends.
Yeah. Well, so here's another thing. So there was a trade that took place, all right, that sent Christian Hackenberg to the Express.
There's already been trades?
Yeah, they traded Mike Singletary, the coach, for Hackenberg. Stuff's crazy.
Can you do that?
Yeah. Hey, do you guys remember Hugh Freeze?
No.
No.
The Ole Miss coach that got fired for that scandal.
Is he a disgraced coach?
Yes.
Okay.
Very, very disgraced. Here, I'm gonna pull up the story just so you know. I think this is the right Freeze.
Well, while you're doing that.
Yeah, this is the right Hugh Freeze. There was something with like strippers and stuff, I think.
Oh, that's him. There, that's on the, him. I think the Birmingham Iron, there's a defensive back from IUP, Max Redfield.
Wow. Yeah.
Seems like the AAF has a lot of like mid-major D.
Yeah,
D1,
there's
AA.
A tackle, offensive tackle from Duquesne.
Like we got like Clark Atlanta. What kind of school is that? You know.
Some of them I just saw a no college one.
Wow.
So that's something.
Right, I'm trying to get to the San Diego Fleet shop. See if I can get some cool swag.
Do you remember this name, Young Ho Koo?
Oh, yo, the kicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Played for the Chargers for a while. He's on the Atlanta Legends.
Oh man, he was really awful. I mean, like really awful.
Okay, on the Memphis Express, there is a wideout from Tennessee. His name is Alton Howard, but he has a nickname, and that nickname is Pig. Alton Pig Howard.
I love it. I love it.
And
how do you know his nickname's Pig?
Because it has it on the page in quotes.
Oh, man.
Wow. Good job, guys.
He's the only one I've seen thus far.
Let's see. This is fun. I'm just yeah, doing some looking. Oh man, I was talking with you know, again, Nick and some of my other postgraduate Robert Morris friends, and we're like, man, we could just really get into this.
Yeah,
like those people that just 100% just go all out.
I like Atlanta to win it.
One of the punters, because all right,
man,
two.
That could be your team.
Atlanta's my team.
All right.
I'll hang with Orlando. One of the punters, because the Memphis Express has two, is Brad Wing, former New York Giant.
Oh.
Hey, Will, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
When we go down for spring break, do we want to try and go to a game?
Oh, we might not. I don't think we'll be able to, because we won't be there over the weekend.
Oh, you right.
Where are you guys going?
Tampa, Florida.
Yeah.
Tampa, Florida.
Yeah, because we're staying with my sister.
So it's free housing.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that nice?
So all we have to do is pay for a plane ticket, which we should do that soon, by the way.
Yes. Where did Mike Singletary coach?
He was
in San Francisco.
Yeah, he was the head coach in San Francisco.
Does he have a brother and or son? Because Matt Singletary is the defensive line coach.
I don't know. Google it. Probably.
Probably.
Do you guys know? Do you guys know Brad Wing? LSU wasn't his first college.
Really?
Yeah.
Where was it?
I don't remember offhand, but he got kicked out of college for marijuana use.
Oh.
He was on the Steelers for a while.
Okay.
That's how I know.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, well, Orlando wouldn't even be around when we were there anyway, so they're on the road. Their next home game for us would be when they play the Arizona Hotshots.
Ooh, a possible Robert Morris tie. There's a Uitafe on the Salt Lake Stallions.
Really?
I don't know if he has any relation to Joe, who is a player at Robert Morris.
I wonder what Joe's doing right now.
Dude, Joe Uitafe, good guy.
Man, this is just very interesting. Like,
yeah, I was really bummed as someone who's like looking for, you know, a job right now.
Mm-hmm.
All these were like must start in February, and I was like, dang it. I was like, that would have been cool.
You know,
like even just to do it for like a year, be part of like a new league.
Yeah. That's, I'm sure, something that would boost your resume.
Hey, man, I just want to let everyone know on this, whoever listens to this, I am looking for a job. Let me know.
I think Please. We all are.
I mean, you're right.
Yeah, we really are.
It's fine. It's fine. We're going to be okay.
You know what is going to be really cool, though?
What?
Going down July. Actually, we can go down Oh, it's not on my birthday this year, but going down late July, early August to the Steelers training camp and seeing one of RME's finest there. Maybe get a little signature.
Yeah, how much is that signature going to be worth?
Okay, Furco, let's calm
negative
down.
$2.
Yeah, but you know how we talk
about... You'll have to pay someone to take that autograph from you. You'll be like, please.
You know how we talked about going to the Steelers-Falcons game and getting tickets in the end zone, so when he picked off Landry Jones, he could come celebrate with us?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we can go to any game.
All right, Sam. We'll go.
Hit City's going to make the squad.
No, it's Hitman.
Hitman. Well, Hit City Hitman. Because, you know, the Steelers are lacking big time in the secondary.
Yeah, yes. But do you don't, no offense, but do you
well, with Nick Burnett's gonna, I bet you Nick Burnett's gonna leave.
So they're gonna be like, let's not get any other free agent. Let's bring up Marcellus Brand. I'm sorry. But like, come on.
I do want to talk about the NFL though.
Oh, that's fine.
I have one last question. I have one last question about the AAF. Matt Kitna. Does that name?
I wonder if he's related to John Kitna. I thought about that when I saw that.
Yeah.
Hey, well, I have one more question for you. Who was the last quarterback to throw a touchdown in the Super Bowl?
Still Nick Foles.
That's right. Don't forget that.
What did you guys think of the game?
I thought it was a good game. People, you know, just because there's not offense, people say it's not exciting. The Patriots ran an incredible defensive game plan. I mean, 100%. When Sean McVay was like, Bill Belichick outcoached me, he did. And it wasn't. Tom Brady did not have planning. First off, Julian Edelman should not have been MVP. One, because it was a defensive game in which Stephon Gilmore had a forced fumble and interception and like three pass breakups. How does that not win you Super Bowl MVP in a 13-3 game?
Yeah.
That boggles me. Also, the fact that he's a known PED user in the NFL. She's like, oh, here you go. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like,
Colin Cowherd went off yesterday talking about how Julian Edelman is family to the Patriots. I was like, interesting.
But his backstory, man, come on. No D1 offers, went to a JUCO.
Great.
Transferred to Kent State.
I mean, you know, steroids will help get you there, so.
Oh, Sam, you'll really appreciate this.
Yes.
Yesterday, my sister sent a meme in our family group chat.
By the way, I have your sister on Twitter, and her tweeting during the Super Bowl. Great.
Ellie or Sarah?
Ellie.
Oh, this was from Sarah.
Oh, okay. Ellie was like 41-33.
Yeah.
I was just like, thank you.
It has matched the New England Patriot to his violation.
Oh, I already saw that. Yeah. yeah.
I haven't played this game.
Oh, it's great. All right. So, yeah, describe it to him.
Let me pull it back up. So there's, for radio use, there's three.
Okay.
And it's Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and Julian Edelman. And on the other side of this image is a deflated football, a needle, and a bottle that's labeled PED, and a camera.
Good times.
It's like
I'm
a
gonna
puzzle.
Julian Edelman, needle.
That's correct. Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner. That's number one.
Bill Belichick. Camera.
Yeah,
yes.
That's two. That's two.
Job.
Bring it out,
Tom
bring
Brady.
It out.
Deflated football.
Woo! All right, all right.
There we go.
Yeah.
We're going to Disney World, folks.
Oh, man. Well, Tom Brady and Julian Edelman are already there.
I think
it was funny that they sent both of them.
Can we also,
usually just the MVP.
Can we also talk about the fact that I know so many people that were like, I'm flying back for the parade today. Like, it's not the sixth parade since 2001. And that doesn't include the Bruins, the Celtics, and the Red Sox. I'm a Boston sports fan and everything but New England, but dang, New England sports fans, arguably the worst.
I saw something.
Arguably the worst.
Today or yesterday. It was funny. People tried to, like, people were bitter, so they tried to point out the flaws in it, but it's still funny because they said a 4-month-old Boston fan has seen more championships than a 45-year-old Mets, Jets, Knicks fan.
Ooh. Ooh,
which I was
harsh.
Like, that hurts. Ooh. But I hate the Mets, so it made me laugh.
Oh man! Okay, did you see the Avengers commercial?
Briefly.
So
it wasn't really long.
Yeah, I know. But they did a shot of empty Citi Field, and they went, "Oh man!" One of my friends went, "Oh man, why is there a live shot of a Mets game right there?"
Oh.
Which, as someone who paid $2 to go to a Mets game this summer, which by the way, it cost me more to take the train and the subway to get to said Mets game,
yes,
than the actual Mets ticket.
Yes.
Where were the seats at?
Huh? They were like not center field, they were
high
tier
up. Yeah.
But like
okay.
Behind home plate.
They were nosebleeds though?
Yeah, but they were $2. It was awesome. I was like, yeah, I'll go to a game for $2. I was like,
Mahoney well, Valley Scrapper tickets are more than that.
They're,
New Hampshire Fisher Cats tickets are $12 flat.
Yeah. Reading Phillies tickets are more than that.
Go Fighting Phils. Do I have my shirt on today?
No. RMU sport Phils. Tickets are more than
That's
that.
True.
Oh, man, you know it's going to be sad the day when we graduate and we have to pay to get in.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that I can just use my RMU athletics connections to be like, hey, please. I come a lot. I'm your biggest fan. Well, okay, here's another
high
question.
High school tickets are more than that.
Yeah. All right, so here's okay, a here's sorry. A side note question for you guys okay. while we're complaining about ticket prices. Would you, at any point, if you lived around here, would you become a 1921 club member?
Yeah.
I would do it in a heartbeat because I go to all the games.
Around here, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
If I had like a wife and kids, I'd be like, all right, kids, like let's go see Coach Schooley in his 37th season. Still coaching this team after their
still
seven NCAA
won.
Tournament appearances. No, dude, they're gonna hit their stride, all right?
Yeah, I've and probably my guess would be like 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, which by the way, also, you were at that game on Saturday, right?
I was at both games.
Did you see that garbage call against Justin Adamo where they ejected him?
Yes.
So you know Justin Adamo is 6'6" plus skates, so
he's
like,
RMU's Zdeno Chara.
Yes, he's giant. So he's racing down the ice with this guy. And they go into
who
the
who has the puck, by the way.
Yeah, he has the puck. And they go into the boards. So, like, his shoulder goes into him as they're racing the boards because he's 6'6". They go down. Not only do they call it boarding, they say no. It's a 5-minute game misconduct. Adamo's gone. Looking at this replay, all right? No, there's no push. There's no, you know, extension. Mm. There's no ill intent Mm-mm. to hit him. The puck is right there. At worst, it was a boarding call. But that's at worst. It was awful.
Yeah.
Because that killed. And I mean, they were down 2-0. They lost 2-1.
Or 3-1.
Oh yeah, because the
empty
net.
Yeah.
But it just, it killed any momentum going into the third period. Even though it ended up being like a 4-on-4 for 2 minutes. It just, I don't know. I hate when calls like that are made.
Yeah, and I would say I'm surprised. But and honestly, Atlantic Hockey, out of all the umpires/referees that I've seen in my time with the Northeast Conference and CHA and Atlantic Hockey, them and the CHA referees are probably the best.
Yes.
But they're still, I mean, and that's also where I honestly, in my opinion, the MLB and the NHL have the best officiating crews in sports, so they do have a higher standard to live up to than say the NEC refs in football and basketball.
It's weird because there's more room for error, I think, and because there's such a small window of opportunity for hockey and baseball, mm-hmm. more so than you know football and basketball, that it's I guess they do have to be pretty good.
Right, and especially with replay in baseball, I feel like that has just eliminated. If it was like 95% like efficient to begin with, I feel like it just increased it that much more. So you don't miss calls like, I don't know, a defensive player hitting an offensive player out of bounds while the ball is 3 feet away and they don't call anything.
I'm baffled. I didn't see the play because I was using the restroom, but like, man, oh man, how do you miss? What goes
through
your
mind? There are so many calls on every single team that you could go through this season and ask that question.
I'll tell you what, and I know this is there's no comparison here at all. I'm a soccer referee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've done youth all the way up to like adult games.
Sam Barron's is so cool.
And I know that in the heat of the moment, there's bang bang plays, things are going to happen. But that's just so blatant.
Yeah.
I mean, I looked back, and you know, it wasn't even like within the whatever 3-yard cushion that they have to make those plays. Mm. But like, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm sure it's happened there. Oh, the Steelers reference, the false start again in the Chargers game. And then you have that, and then you have the fumble recovery in the Eagles Cowboys game that essentially decided the NFC East.
Yeah.
And even though the Eagles had 4 guys on the ball, they couldn't quote
I don't know if you guys see a clear recovery. Yeah.
Steelers Saints defensive pass interference twice.
I don't know if you guys noticed during the Super Bowl, they swallowed their whistles in the Super Bowl.
They really did.
They,
Roger Goodell definitely went, I don't want a call deciding this game. We are going to let everything play, which honestly, I'm okay with.
Yeah.
I would rather have you let everything play than have everything be so ticky-tack like that.
Yeah. Because you could have called. I mean, there are a few plays where I watched the game with.
There definitely was some pass interference.
My friend John DeGroski, and he got pretty mad over a few plays. But if you look at it, like, especially with the replay, you look, and in my opinion, a lot of those plays, there was as much offensive pushing as there was defensive pushing. So I feel like if you call it one way or the other, it wouldn't have really been fair because there was just so much of it. And that's just football.
And that was a very good refereeing crew, too. I think they did the calls that they made were good, solid. You know, when you look back at it, you can't say, well, you know.
Right, and it worked. A referee did not make a call that changed the outcome of the game, except for there was one drive where I forget what they gave the Patriots. It was they called something on the Rams. Hit on a defenseless receiver.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Against Rex Burkhead.
The only thing I
oh
can
that
th-
was a bad call.
Only
that
thing
was a
I
bad
can
call.
Think of,
but
maybe
that was not a game changing call.
No,
so
but
I'm
it
okay.
Just extended their drive, and I think that ended up with the.
That was the missed field goal drive.
That was the missed field goal drive.
Yeah, that was the missed field goal drive. So it could have led to.
Yes.
The only thing I can think of why they called it that, I don't know why they didn't change it to this. It did look like helmet to helmet pretty bad. So if they were using that as their basis of the call, then they should have at least.
But that's a different call, though.
Yeah, they should have changed it if that's what they were. If that was their mindset. But I do want to ask you guys one thing, and I brought this up last show. We didn't get to go on Thursday because RMU canceled class.
Oh, that's right.
But do you think and this isn't just in the NFL. But all sports, I've heard this gripe. Do you think that the All-Star game, the Pro Bowl, do you think that needs to be changed? And why? Because I'll tell you what, I saw a statistic, and I pulled both teams up. I haven't been able to go through it too much yet. But, like, the Pro Bowl roster was missing, I think, 8 first-team All-Pros.
I think the Pro Bowl is the single worst All-Star game in all of professional sports. And here's the problem, is that you literally, because of the way football is, you almost need to make it like a flag football game so that nobody can get hurt, because then you could do it like mid-season or like something like fun like that.
And then you could have guys that are going to the Super Bowl actually participate.
You know what I'm a big proponent of? I think that would be fun. They would never do it. I think it should just be the bottom two teams, and they're playing a game, and whoever wins gets the first overall pick in the draft.
That would be awesome.
Yeah,
I'd watch
that. Think about
that,
dude. Yeah, I know, because it would also be like, right, this year would have been like, what, the Cardinals and the 49ers. Like a divisional matchup you would have had. And like, what if you tossed in some like crazy stuff? Like you each got to pull in like one player from any team.
Yeah.
Like that was like
except the Except for the Super Bowl teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like someone pulls in like frickin', you know, Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, Drew Brees is going to be our quarterback for the game. All of a sudden, you see him rolling in a 49ers uni. And you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Come on. That would be freaking.
I would watch that.
Yeah.
But they're never going to do it. Honestly, I think the best all-star weekend type thing that they have is hockey. Between
yes.
the skills competition 100%. And the fact that the game, there's multiple games and they're all 3-on-3.
And they're all high scoring and they're fun. And like you get to, like, even if you don't like a guy like Sidney Crosby, you get to see a guy like Sidney Crosby do Sidney Crosby things.
Right. And they're still playing hockey.
Yes.
They're not, you know, messing around.
And the skills competition, I mean, like, no offense, I'm not going to sit up on a Thursday night and watch NFL players play dodgeball.
No. Mm-mm.
Like, come on. Like, there's, like, a few notable highlights when they had, like, Josh Thielen, like, throw that perfect pass during the skills challenge. Mm-hmm. That was the only notable thing that happened in that skills challenge to me. And you know what? That's crazy because there's definitely so much more, like, cool stuff you could do.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't do it.
Baseball, I think
the tradition's the best.
Right. Honestly, I watch the Home Run Derby and then don't watch the All-Star
me
game.
Me too. Well, I'll have it on, but, like, I'm not really, like,
no, because it's, I mean,
it's that doesn't mean anything anymore either.
Right, because it used to, and we play a game called Out of the Park, and I made a custom league and put it back in.
Okay.
Where the outcome of the All-Star game determines who gets home field advantage in the World Series, which I got yelled at by Spencer Wellington over because he said, oh, what if you have a worse record? I was like, so? You have to have better players in your league.
Isn't that what it's always been?
It used to be. They stopped doing that.
What's the outcome of the All-Star game now?
Nothing.
Oh.
It's the team with the higher, like, with the higher record, the better record.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I like the MLB All-Star game, and it's the one that, again, hasn't deviated from its core. Like,
right.
The Home Run Derby, and then, you know, classic MLB All-Star game. I mean, NBA, I don't even know what the NBA does anymore.
Yeah, they have. I think they have the dunk contest and then the game, and I think they have a celebrity game too, which I've just rolling through like Facebook videos. It is some of the stuff is pretty funny, and it's pretty interesting to see like guys like I think T.O. did it one year and like dunked or something. So like
Kevin
stuff.
Hart always plays. I think.
Yeah.
And then I mean like you know NHL they do their thing, NFL does their thing. I think MLS has like the least exciting All Star game.
Yeah,
they play
their All Stars against a Premier League team.
Yeah, and it's usually Arsenal. Arsenal usually loses.
Yeah,
I mean,
because of Conky.
It's a good time. Oh, also to note, MLS Worlds, the MLS Championship, drew more fans than the Super Bowl.
You can't see. I saw that too, and I don't know if you can make that direct comparison because
there are more fans in the seats,
right? But the think about the cost. How much more expensive is the Super Bowl, and how many more people watch at home? That's where the difference is.
Yeah, but if I had a chance to go to the MLB, like the World Series Game 7, I'd go. I don't like
that's
baseball.
Different though.
Well, how's that? Because
it's a 7-game series, and you could go any night, and it could be exciting. You don't know it's going to make it to a Game 7. What I'm saying is, like, yes. Like, you could also say that the MLS Cup was played in a bigger stadium, so they could fit more people. Like, there's so many things that go into that number, and there's so much more behind that number than that you can – I don't think you can make a statement saying in what the people promoting that have been trying to make. And, like, yes, it's great that soccer is growing in America because it is a worldwide sport, and it's – fun to see America actually compete with those type of teams. But I don't think you can say that the MLS Cup was more successful than the Super Bowl.
Oh, I didn't say that. I just said there were more people attended. I'm looking up the ticket prices though, because that is a curious mm-hmm. thing, because you know how much does a you know game 3 of the MLB World Series cost compared to game 2 of the Stanley Cup Finals, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think they're pretty – it's different because of the seat capacity. So, like I know the mm-hmm. Wells Fargo Center can seat 19,800 people or something, like give or take a few hundred.
Yeah.
And the Link can hold, like, 70,000. And – Citizens Bank Park can hold 60,000. So, like, it depends on how much seating. Which, did you guys see when they were going through the Rams and Chargers new stadium? Then it can expand. So, it normally seats around 70,000 people.
Okay.
But it can be expanded to sit over 100,000.
So, kind of like, I don't think it was this last World Cup. Maybe it was the European Championships. There was a stadium where the roof could come out and you could have seats outside and seats up top. Maybe it was Russia. I don't know. But there, I do remember seeing something like that. And that's kind of cool because, you know, if it's a nicer game and more people will want to come, then you can do that expansion.
Well, it's not even it's not even like dependent on the weather, because this is the other thing I wanted to talk about, their roof.
Okay.
It's not a true roof. It's its own structure, and it just is, it's essentially a tarp over top of it. So you still have air going through, and they said the point is so that you can still get the atmosphere of an outdoor game without having to sit in the the element.
So it's not a temperature controlled.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's not an arena. It's still its own stadium. It just has like a covering over top.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
I looked it up. The secondary market for ticket prices, like starting out, were in between $200 and $400.
So for
the MLS Cup final. Which, granted, that you're right. That's not as much as I think when we went to the Super Bowl in 2010. My parents had season tickets, and what they do is they, based off of your season tickets, you get a certain amount that you could get. I think we were able to get two, and then you're entered into a lottery and they draw, and then if your name's picked, you have the chance to buy tickets. I think they were like $800 each.
I know
those were up in the nosebleeds too.
I know. I think Hamilton does the same sort of thing.
Yeah, I think they ran that promotion where you had to get a season pass to the Pittsburgh. I think it was the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust.
Yeah, you did. That's exactly.
Oh, but I mean, even on Broadway, they have that same lottery system where you can win. You get the chance to buy a face value ticket.
Brilliant idea, though. To shout out to the box office manager who was the was best friend of my parents and the singer at their wedding.
For Hamilton.
Pittsburgh Cultural Trust.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The more you know.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot about professional stuff. We have an exciting week of Robert Morris sports this week. I believe, women's basketball and men's basketball.
They're both at
They host.
I think they travel, though. I thought.
Or no, they're home this weekend. Let me see. Oh boy. Army's.
Wait, what team?
Wi-Fi. Basketball.
Oh, basketball is at Bryant or not Bryant? It's
no,
home.
They host Bryant.
And then, is that it? That's gonna be a good game, by the way.
I believe. The women play at 7, and I think the men play at either 1 or 4.
Which, by the way,
men's play at 7 on Thursday.
Women's basketball going for their best start.
They play on Saturday
ever in conference play.
Yes, because they're 9-0 right now. Which is that what they did last year or 2 years ago?
They're the second team in NEC women's basketball history to start consecutive seasons 9-0.
Wow.
The last team to do it was St. Francis, PA, back in 2003, 2004. In 2004, they went 18-0 in conference play. Fun fact.
Wow.
I know way too much about Army women's basketball.
Yeah. I also didn't know St. Francis Brooklyn is in Brooklyn Heights in New Jersey.
Yes.
You would have thought Brooklyn, New York.
Right, because that's where LIU is, and they're LIU Brooklyn.
Bang. Shocker.
Maybe St. Francis should change it to St. Francis, New Jersey. I don't know. I'm just unnecessarily hating on
St. Francis, PA?
No. St. Francis Brooklyn is in New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
It's like the Jets and Giants changing to the New Jersey Giants and the New Jersey Jets.
Mm-hmm. Sam Anthony, answer me this.
All right.
Why is Army men's basketball on a 2-game losing streak?
Hey, man, have you watched those two games?
I watched the last game.
And you know who they lost to? Fairleigh Dickinson on a 5-game winning streak. St. Francis U on a 3-game winning streak, which, by the way, in the Matty McConnell era, which is, you know, our era, Robert Morris is now 0-7 against St. Francis, PA.
Wow.
They're a team that just had our number. And
that's not what you want to hear.
But it was a good game. They competed.
It was.
When you play games like that, they're not always going to end up in your favor.
Mm-mm.
Shots aren't going to fall sometimes. But the thing that's different from this Robert Morris team is they compete. I mean, they lost in double OT to Fairleigh Dickinson.
Yeah, that I
don't know if you saw what happened in the first OT.
No.
They were down by 3, and they hit a 3 at the end of overtime.
And I
sent it to double OT. Yeah, Dante Tracy did it.
And I heard, I think it was Josh Williams, had one go off the rim at the end of second
OT. Yeah, it literally, like, rimmed in and out. Yeah.
That's
which,
so,
like, hit 31
so
points.
Upsetting.
You know, he did exactly what you expected of him
to
do. He made shots. There's a lot of parity in the NEC.
Mm-hmm.
And that the fact that Robert Morris at the top of that parity is good.
Yeah.
And they beat Sacred Heart, so they have the tiebreaker for them right now. Fairleigh Dickinson and St. Francis U, you know, that's tough. But at the same time, you know, look at the stretch down the schedule here. I mean, you're playing Bryant. Bryant's 5-5, so they're not bad, but they're not, you know, overwhelming either.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the important thing to think about first off.
I think the big trouble with Robert Morris in that Fairleigh Dickinson game was their foul trouble, because you look at the Fairleigh Dickinson bench, and the announcers alluded to this. They're not deep. I mean, Fairleigh Dickinson, when they came to Robert Morris, we handled them well. We won 69-62. But like, the only reason why Fairleigh Dickinson were as competitive as they were, because they weren't reaching that foul trouble when we were.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I forgot we've played them twice, so yeah, so there is no tiebreaker,
and,
actually.
And
it's
granted, they...
Actually, we have the tiebreaker because we have scoring margin.
Yeah, our the guys on our team, like the bench guys, Tracy, Wilbon, I mean, they played well in that first and second overtime period to kind of just...
Which is big, because that, again, that's the difference with this team, is they have depth, and that's going to win them, for the most part, close games.
It also... builds character too on the team, I think, because if you have these guys that are coming in and they're, you know, they're playing behind Petaway, Mendy, McConnell, the Williams brothers, and they're kind of just sitting in the shadows, you know, getting their 5 minutes a game, or you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. It helps them and it helps the team as a whole.
Well, yeah, because you had McConnell and you had John Williams foul out in this game, so you had to have guys like, you know, Tracy and Wilbon step up. And you know, that's an exciting thing to see. Like you said, foul trouble really killed them. But, you know, when you go into a double overtime game, you know, that's not necessarily a whose fault, is it? I mean, it's bound to happen in double overtime.
Right.
So, I mean, it's amazing that there wasn't a player that fouled out on Fairleigh Dickinson.
There's one bone I have to pick, though. Bane, stop shooting threes, please. I mean, I have seen you shoot four terrible threes in the past two games that I've watched. You know, Fairleigh Dickinson, double overtime, you shot the ball from the corner and it hit the back of the backboard. Like, not the front of the backboard, the back of the backboard. Granted, I'm not athletic at all in basketball. I couldn't do that. But please, give it to, like, Coleman or something.
I disagree. He's a 40% three-point shooter.
Well, you know, he only shoots, like, two per game.
But he's a 40% three-point shooter. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, that's a pretty good number.
What
40%.
Is it? 40%?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's notable.
Hey, maybe it's just me showing up and watching the games that's putting a damper
really,
on things.
You know, you just can't go to games then. I'm sorry.
My question, the biggest question I've had is looking at Savion McEwen. Is that how you pronounce it? Okay. I feel like he was playing a lot in the beginning of the year. And in the past few games, I've seen more of Dante Tracy playing in that same role, but I'm still under the impression
that Savion's
better.
I still like Savion better. Yes.
Yeah. I've seen more plays that I believe like Savion would have made or would have made better decisions with while he's not on the court.
So my question is maybe as a player, as a scorer, as someone who contributes on their own, McEwen's better. I feel like the decision to keep Tracy in over him is because he didn't even play against Fairleigh Dickinson, even with the foul trouble. They didn't put McEwen in. My biggest thought with that is running plays, doing the fundamental things. And that would be something where, again, I don't want to pretend like I'm a pro right now, but that's going through and looking at the games in which he played and Tracy didn't, and seeing, you know, defensively, how did they do? Offensively, how did they do? Because, you know, maybe you can see a drop-off because of the fact that maybe, you know, he's not running the plays correctly. He's not getting open.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the stuff that really only Andy Toole and the coaches would know, or if you knew what Robert Morris was running, you would know. And that's something that's a kind of an interesting thought because, you know, again, look at that. He played in that Wagner game, 57 points. But he also played in Sacred Heart where they scored 72 and CCSU and Bryant where they scored 79 and 70. So you got to think. So in all three of their losses, this season has been where they play Tracy more than they play McEwen. So then that goes with the other argument going, hey, what the heck's going on here?
Yeah. I mean, just from what I've seen, I like Savion a lot more.
Yeah.
So that was one thing in the St. Francis game is I felt like I kept seeing Dante Tracy in clutch moments where I don't, in my opinion, he shouldn't have been getting the ball.
Well, I think he's a little, like, I mean, he's a freshman.
Yeah.
It's going to take some time. Mm-hmm. I think I like him as a better shooter, though, between the two. I think Tracy's definitely not the defensive guy. But I don't know. I'll tell you what I am excited for, though. And I was just – I didn't realize this at first.
Mm.
But, like, looking at their schedule ahead, their second game, you said the men's and women's both play on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But the men's game on Saturday at 4 p.m., two big things. First, it's an ESPN Plus game. Not ESPN 3, ESPN Plus.
Oh, boy.
We're getting there. Big time. But it's against Central Connecticut State University.
Let me toss you a hint on that. We pay for those games to go on. Actually, is it at Central Connecticut or is it here?
It's here.
That means we paid money for it to be on ESPN Plus because ESPN 3 didn't want it.
Okay.
So we're actually moving down.
What about – remember that one game that – it was a few years ago that ended up being an ESPN U game? How did that happen? Was it just
happened, man.
Because hmm. St.
Francis U has an ESPNU game coming up this week.
Really?
Yeah. I saw it on their Twitter account. Because I follow all the accounts.
Men's, women's?
Men's. Psh, women's, sorry.
Well, no. I'm just saying, like, that's going to be – if you want to go to a game and experience something, go to this Central Connecticut game. It's going to be ESPN Plus game against Central Connecticut State, who we went to and beat them by 11. They're second to last in the NEC, and I think our team has something to prove after these two losses.
How long till the broadcast mentions that Dr. Chris Howard is a member of the College Football Playoff Committee?
Do they do it every single time?
Well, I don't know, but I'm assuming they probably do. Well, Dr. Chris Howard, no, little known fact, he's actually a member of the College Football Playoff Committee. Wow. Oh, wow. How do you manage that? Oh, wow. Well,
by spending $5 million. What?
Go to commercial.
So, wait, why is, like, so this is a question for you, Sam. So, the women's game on Thursday is an ESPN3 game. Why? And then, like, you know, the men's is on Saturday is ESPN Plus game. Why don't they air both games?
Money.
Yeah.
So, we have to pay for the ESPN coverage?
Plus, yeah.
Okay. What about the ESPN3 game? Why is the men's game not aired on ESPN3?
That's a decision by ESPN.
Yeah, okay. There might be another local game that
they dub more important.
Right. Okay. I was curious because
except when they play on FS1 and CBS Sports Network, I think some of the schools have deals with them. Like I know Mount St. Mary's has a deal with CBS, and I think one of the teams up in New England has a deal too.
I'm pretty sure because I watched it with my family over break. Who did Robert Morris play on CBS Sports? Was it Mount St. Mary's?
No, because that was here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, St. Francis, Brooklyn.
Yeah. That could have also been picked up. I don't know. But I know for a fact that Mount St. Mary's, at least in the past, has had a deal with CBS Sports, and that's how they've had so many of their games end up on TV.
Man. Army sports.
Craziness. There's something going on at halftime for the women's game. Somebody or something's being recognized. I think the Hall of Fame members?
Oh.
New ones,
well,
maybe?
That's fun.
Something? I don't know, because it's the reason why the women's game is at 7.
Oh.
At least that's what I was kind of together.
The women don't play Bryant until Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. Men's play Thursday, men's and women's play Saturday.
Okay, I'm sorry, folks. I thought they played Bryant on the same day. And
no, yeah, no.
Okay.
Pittsburgh's gone to the Super Bowl.
Okay, three last questions. Real quick. Where's Antonio Brown going to end up?
Ooh. Well, just letting you know, breaking news, he's reportedly been involved in a domestic dispute.
Oh, boy.
We don't know the details of
this. Of course he is.
But
where's he going to go?
San Francisco.
Where's he going to go?
Not Pittsburgh.
Le'Veon Bell, where's he going to go?
New York Jets.
Not Pittsburgh.
Nick Foles, where's he going to go?
Jacksonville Jaguars.
I think he's going to stay with the Eagles.
You heard it, folks.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. Catch us every Tuesday, Thursday. I will not be here this Thursday. I'll be in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh.
You guys can still do the show if you want. You have this room reserved. But I will be hanging out in Nash Vegas, Broadway, Smashville. Let's go, baby. Let's go, Preds.
Love you, Mom.